Early this year, New York City began cracking down on panhandling in the subways. Now transit police are expected to arrest persistent and aggressive panhandlers. The maximum penalty is 10 days in jail. This has made work more difficult for transit cops, like my guest Brendan McGarry. He's been a New York City transit cop for 21 years. Nicholas Davidoff just described some of the more theatrical subway panhandlers. I asked Officer McGarry about the different types of panhandlers he sees.
The panhandler you have in a subway, you have, I guess, what I would call like a legit panhandler. These are the people that, and that's my own term, by the way, these are the people that actually are down and out, you know, and are looking for a dime, a nickel, or a dollar. Then you have your other people who really don't want to work, never wanted to work, and they figure it's an easy way to make a dollar. And it's proven that it is an easy way to make a dollar because the public is actually contributing to these people.
Can you tell who's who by just listening to them and watching them?
Well, generally, I tell you, the people I really feel sorry for are the elderly and the panhandlers. You see a lot of them that were, for whatever reason, were thrown out of their apartments, usually because some high mucky muck wants to build a condo or a 20-story apartment building, and unfortunately, they're the victims. They're a little older, they're elderly, and you do feel very sorry for them. We have the young panhandlers, again, like I said, are just out there. It's because it's an easy way to make a dollar, and generally, after a while, you can tell the difference. But as a citizen out there, you don't really, you know, you see the one panhandler and you're not really concerned. These people are not really concerned whether they're really destitute or it's more convenient for them to give them the dollar or the quarter and just get on the train and go.
When you see somebody panhandling on a train, do you immediately arrest them or there are some people you give a break because you think that they're in a pretty tragic situation?
Well, first of all, you can't immediately arrest the panhandler. It depends on how he's panhandling and a few other things. But basically, an example would be, you know, I get on a train and there's an elderly, and I mean an elderly lady or a gentleman asking for some money to eat. I mean, you know, we all have mothers and fathers and, you know, at least I do, and I feel sometimes, you know, a little sad at that. So generally, I try to take them off the train. Not only myself, a lot of us officers, transit cops, take them off the train and, you know, maybe might slip a dollar in their pocket or get them a cup of coffee or something like that or try to get them some sort of shelter, you know, for the time being.
One of the things you're supposed to do is to wake homeless people who are sleeping on the train. How do you go about that? Because you don't know the sleeping person, whether they're mentally ill, whether they're an addict, whether they're violent or not. You don't know what to expect they're going to do when they wake up.
See, that's a very good point. See, what happens is John Q. Citizen riding the subway does not really realize that a lot of these homeless people do have diseases or are covered with lice or are mentally ill. And when you awake this person, for example, you come on a train as a transit police officer and you have somebody laid out on the bench, the seat, and you're going to wake them. You wake them up and you back off a little bit because a lot of these people wake up and for the first second or two, they don't know where they are and they could get up swinging. So generally, we try to wake them up and move back a little bit to give them some breathing space. The procedure is you'd wake them up and you would eject them from the train and possibly from the system. And then again, that would depend on the weather conditions. I mean, if it's really bad in the wintertime, it's very cold. You can't eject somebody out into the freezing cold. But the you know, the thing is that the public doesn't realize that as a transit cop, when you're dealing with the homeless people, and you have to, it's a situation where it's part of the transit police world. And again, a lot of these homeless people are infected with diseases. And after you know, a day of dealing with these people, and you're going home. The thing I worry about is bringing some of this home to my own family.
What are your concerns about having physical contact with people who may have lice or contagious diseases?
Well, the biggest concern I have is, again, like, you know, we have these infectious diseases going around, and every day you turn around, there's another one coming out of the closet. But we've had officers, especially in my command, that were actually, that were killed in a line of duty by homeless people. And in fact, the same two officers on the same station, they were killed by their own weapons, attempting to eject the homeless person from the subway. The homeless person somehow or another got the officer's weapon on both cases and killed the officer. We're worried about, as a transit cop, is this person mentally ill? Does this person have an infectious disease?
Are there any precautions that you take or that you're supposed to take to protect yourself from contagious disease?
Well, there are precautions. You know, we have plastic, we have the rubber gloves. But the problem is that it's not feasible. When you're out on patrol, if you have a homeless person and you have the time to take the, gloves out and put them on and then, you know, put your hands on a person. But it's not as simple as that. You know, on most occasions, you do not have that time. A train comes in blowing for police assistance. They have a homeless person on the train that's acting violent. You don't have time to reach into your pocket and pull out these gloves. You have to act, and you have to act right away.
Have you picked up anything?
Well, unfortunately, I've had lice once in a while, a few times, actually. I've had what they call conjunctivitis, to layman's language, I guess, pink eye, quite a few times. Other than that, knock wood. So far, that's about it.
Brendan McGarry is a New York City transit police officer. He'll be back with us in the second part of our show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. On today's show, we're talking about some of the controversies and dilemmas surrounding panhandling. Earlier, New York City transit cop Brendan McGarry told us about some of the difficulties he faces in enforcing New York's crackdown on panhandlers and the homeless in New York City subways. I asked Officer McGarry if he's had any close calls with violence.
Quite a few years ago, I had just come back. I was injured on a job. And I had come back after being out sick. And a train came in blowing for police assistance on 34th Street. So I responded to the conductor, and the conductor pointed out a very large homeless person, and he said that he was smoking on a train. Now, the homeless person, when I looked at him, he definitely had, I mean, his clothes were torn and everything else. So I was going to eject him from the system. I took him off the train, and I made one big mistake. I turned my back to the train, and he turned around and pushed me into the moving train. Train dragged me for about 5 feet. I was luckily my jacket ripped, and I was able to get up. But now the homeless person, now this guy was like six foot and change and 200 something pounds, is coming after me, and we're rolling around on the platform, and everybody's looking at us, and I mean, these people were screaming, "Look, oh my God, he's beating that man! He's beating that man!" This is at 34th Street and 8th Avenue. It was a little after 12 in the afternoon. And the public were looking at it, looking at the transit cop beating this person. They didn't see anything else. They just saw me and this individual rolling around on the platform. And as a result, both of us were bleeding. And he was covered with my blood. I had his blood on me. And for quite a few years, I was worried about whether or not, because this man did test positive for AIDS. And this is way back before they actually knew what AIDS really was. And for quite a few years, I was worried about whether or not I was going to come down with something.
You said that people were watching and thinking that you were beating up this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Does this happen a lot where you feel that your actions are misinterpreted by people who are watching?
Very much so. Very much so. I mean, in fact, it's the majority of the time that people believe that when the way we deal with the homeless or the panhandlers, that we're misunderstood a lot of times. You know, like I said, we're no angels out there, but we have a job to do, and we do not. I don't know of any transit cop that particularly enjoys the fact of dealing with homeless or panhandlers. I mean, we'd much rather be out there dealing with the other crimes, you know, the the bigger crimes. But unfortunately, a lot of our time is taken up by the panhandlers and the homeless, and it's something that we have to deal with as transit police officers. But I don't really believe that the public actually knows what it's like to deal with these people. And then again, I mean, I can't repeat it enough. I mean, I've been married X amount of years, and I have many kids. And, I mean, I go home sometimes after dealing with these people, and I'm afraid to touch my children for a while or my wife because I don't know what's going to happen.
You're worried about tuberculosis?
Yes. Tuberculosis now is on the increase again. For I don't know why, but it seems like a lot of people we've been bringing in have tuberculosis.
You had mentioned a couple of cops who were killed on the job because homeless people who they were trying to eject from the train got the cop's gun and shot the cops with it.
Right.
Do you have friends who were wounded in action or
well, though,
killed
they
on
were,
the job?
They were your friends. They were very close friends of mine. I worked with them for years.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it had nothing to do with the. See, the problem is that when the riding public looks at a transit cop and they believe that we cannot make mistakes, we are infallible, we're all psychologists, and we should be able to talk these people out of doing anything wrong when it comes to the homeless. And like I said in the article, I mean, if I could have talked all my collars over the 21 years, just talked them into handcuffs, I sure as hell would have done that. But unfortunately, it's not that easy. They don't realize that talking only goes so far, and then you have to actually put your hands on these people, and that's when the physical aspect comes in. Now, it has nothing to do with these people being either small, large, medium, old, young. You know, the two officers, God rest their souls, that were killed were very good friends of mine. I worked with them for years, and the homeless people that they were ejecting actually were very small. I mean, not midgets, but they were very, very small. And the two individuals were a good size individuals, the two officers. So it has nothing to do with size or anything like that. When you're dealing with a person that is mentally ill, you don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, people do not realize that they believe that you should be ready at a minute's notice to handle any situation. And, I mean, we're all human, you know. And unfortunately, these two officers were killed, and it happened on the same station, too.
What was it like for you the first few days after your friends were killed by homeless people in the line of duty? Did you find yourself being more suspicious of people after that and taking much more precautions than you did before?
Well, yes, you do. I mean, you look at it and you say, my God, that could have been me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the next time after, you deal with a homeless person, you tend to take a little more time in talking to the person or handling it, you know, try to handle it where you have some space between you. But unfortunately, every situation is not the ideal situation. In fact, most situations are not the ideal situation. I mean, you know, things happen at a minute's notice. One minute you talk to this person, the next minute this person is totally somebody else from Mars and has the strength of Hercules, you know, and you might have just finished lunch and you really don't feel like rolling around, but boom, there you are on the floor with them.
My guest is New York City Transit cop Brendan McGarry. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Officer Brendan McGarry. What advice would you have for us about whether to give or not give to panhandlers?
Well, you know, it's like the transit police say. I mean, I give to a lot of charities myself, but I mean, there are charities out there. If you really feel that guilty about your own lifestyle or something like that, then you should give to the charities, the legal charities. Or, you know, again, like I said, the panhandlers that are the elderly, I mean, I would hate to say don't give them money, but I mean, I'd have to leave that up to your conscience. But the problem is this. The more money that the panhandlers make, the more panhandlers you're going to have. And, I mean, that's simple. They know that they're making a dollar, and they are making quite a few dollars. And it's easy money. So the more money that they're going to make, the more panhandlers we're going to have.
So you think giving to panhandlers encourages more panhandlers?
Yes, I do.
Do you think that many of the panhandlers are actually violent? You know, like we were saying, there's this implied threat and a very aggressive way of panhandling now. But do many panhandlers actually follow through and hurt anybody?
Well, no, not very many, no. No, most of them are just, you know, loud. They'll scream at you or you know, act a little weird and try to scare you into giving you money. But majority of them, no. I mean, when I say they're aggressive, I mean aggressive to the degree where, like I said, they'll actually put their hands on you, block your passage, and keep giving you their spiel. We have had instances where we've locked some panhandlers up for robbery because it got to the point where the passenger, the panhandler, got into a little scuffle. But I have to say, I really don't know what the stats are, but most of the panhandlers, aggressive-wise, like I say, will just block your passage or scream at you or demand money.
Do you get any counseling on how to deal with homeless people?
Not really counseling. I mean, there's very little in the way of a training session or counseling on how to deal with homeless people. I mean, again, we're transit police officers. We're paid to uphold the law. We're not psychologists, or we have a job to do, and part of the job is that the homeless person, if he's outstretched or bothering people, part of our job is ejecting that person from the subway system, whether we like it or not. I mean, that is part, again, that is part of the transit police world. We are not counselors where we can actually start to talk to these people and ask them their problems. I mean, sometimes I won't say that there are occasions where when you're dealing with a specific homeless person that you can feel that this person has legitimate problems. And then, we'll talk, most cops. Then we're not cold. We will talk to them and maybe try to get them some help, somewhere, or get them to a shelter, something of that nature. But, a lot of the homeless people really don't want to talk to you. And then a lot of them are mentally ill. And even if you were talking to them from now until next Christmas, they wouldn't understand what you were saying.
Brendan McGarry has been a New York City transit police officer for 21 years. This is Fresh Air.